We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth.
Enter a new dimension of political talk.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong.
We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbored them.
Current events, politics, entertainment. The Current Podcast is on now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Current. Episode 97, May 23rd, 2008. I'm Jacob Bodner.
And I am Logan Sparrow.
Hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful week. It has been I'm dropping things. It's been quite the week. It's been, just a bunch of talk about oil and the presidency. And now that Obama has, quote, locked it up, everybody thinks, which he probably has.
Yep. I don't know. Hillary Clinton's got something in store for him.
Hillary's still in the race because she thinks he could be assassinated, which is entirely possible.
It is.
I mean, he could be. But what's
kinda,
the chances?
Kind of cryptic.
Yeah, it's a little satanic, I think that. But yeah, whatever. You know, she's Hillary Clinton. What do you expect from her?
She is the devil. The spawn thereof.
Close enough. We got that. We got the UN finally admitting that terrorism is in the decline and the surge is working. San Francisco is the first in the nation to charge a pollution fee. We're talking a lot about oil today. And a man admits to having sex with 1,000 cars.
Oh, we'll get to that. It's a good story. Trust me.
That is. I want to know how you have sex with cars.
That's a fine question. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even want to speculate.
More on that later.
It's a little dirty.
Yeah.
Let's not even think about that. How was your week?
My week was pretty good. Just as yours was, I'm sure. You know, wrapped up high school, so.
Yeah, you know, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings yesterday.
We did.
And the waitress did that interesting thing where she didn't give us change back.
Yeah.
She didn't give us physical change. She gave us dollar bills and whatnot.
Right.
But she didn't give us change. She shorted me like 68 cents.
Yeah, shorted me like 39 cents. Yeah. So, you know, her tip was cut in half.
Well, you didn't even give her a tip.
I left $1. I was generous. I was going to leave three, but she kept 39 cents.
I was going to leave $1 anyway, so I wasn't going to leave two. But maybe if she gave me change, I would have given her the change.
Yeah.
Which she would have kept anyways, but she gave me $11 back, and the total was $10.34.
Yeah.
So I was shorted cents. I was shorted whatever that would be, 76 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, 66 cents.
66 cents, yeah. Yeah, it's, what a jerk.
I never heard of that before.
That's ridiculous. That's what they should have complained to the manager.
This is what this country is coming to.
I know.
Ugh.
She must have been a Democrat.
Probably, yeah. Of course, she thinks she can take her money. She must be a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's the only logical explanation.
It's a waitress tax.
It is the waitress tax, which they should. They don't tax waitresses' tips. I don't believe so.
I don't think they do.
But they think. I think they should. That's income.
It's because waitresses, waiters even obviously are supposed to. I think report how much money they made in tips.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't.
I wouldn't.
I didn't make any money in tips this year.
Yeah, no, I was really cold. Everybody don't really liked me, so I didn't make anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guess what? Big oil back on Capitol Hill. They might as well just camp out in tents there. They're there every flipping day now.
Yep, bring out the caravan, prop up the motorhome.
Yeah, no kidding. And they have to defend themselves on Capitol Hill, which is just disturbing.
Yep.
Top executives at the five largest oil companies tried to shift anger over high prices to a debate over supplies Wednesday, which is what it all is.
Right.
Leading a senator to accuse them of acting like hapless victims while racking up record profits. Patrick Leahy, Democrat out of Vermont, fine state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
All they produce in Vermont are Democrats. There's nothing else there.
Democrat farms.
That's about it. It's like potatoes in Idaho. Told the executives there's, quote, a disconnect between normal supply and demand and the skyrocketing price of oil, surpassing $130 a barrel, even as the oil leaders testified that the industry has yet to explain.
Mm-hmm.
J. Stephen Simon, executive vice president of ExxonMobil Corporation, said profits have been huge in absolute terms but must be viewed in the context of the massive scale of the industry. He also said high earnings are needed in the current upcycle to pay for investments in the long term when profits will be down.
Right.
That is true. I mean, if you look at their profits and say, wow, they make $40 billion. Take a look at their revenue Their revenue is $404 billion, which means they're spending $364 billion on producing the stuff. ExxonMobil has a 10% profit margin. BP, all the other ones have a 7%. ExxonMobil does what they do pretty well. 10% profit margin, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, for any company.
And that most of that money comes from exploring and drilling for oil, not from refining and marketing. In fact, their profits in that sector are down 39%. So to think that, oh, well, they're just skimming us out of money and they're making a ton of money is bull. It is all supply and demand. What is the number? Do I have it written down here? Let's see here. Oh, yeah. The demand right now is 86.5 million barrels a day. The supply is 85 million. A third grader could tell you that's a problem.
Yeah.
Your supply is a million and a half less than your demand.
Right.
There you go. It gets even worse, though. The IEA estimates that by 2012, the demand will reach 95 million barrels a day. Well, supply ain't going anywhere unless we drill. They're running out of oil in the Middle East. So what are we going to do? It's on us now.
And in this the article we have here, it says that the only way that these oil companies can get, you know, the price of gas to go down is if they're allowed to expand.
Yeah.
They have to be able to expand their operations. All right, you just said supply demand. There's not enough supply.
No.
If, you know, and it's not that hard to increase supply. I mean, there's oil all over this place. Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
We did a story three or four weeks ago. Someone, was it North or South Dakota? They found some. I mean, if we can, it's all over the coast of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
in the Gulf.
It's ridiculous how much of it is out there. You know, if we drilled for it, I guarantee you, price of gas would go down. It's a simple equation.
It would take a little while. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight.
Right, because you have to drill it and get it out and refine it and set up an operation.
It takes so long to refine this stuff, and people just don't understand. But, you know, 62% of all onshore federal lands are off limits to oil companies, over half of them. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And people always want to know. I found this interesting. I was looking up what makes up the price of gas, because people are like, you know, apparently Congress doesn't understand what makes up the price of gas.
Clearly.
70% of the cost of gas really is the cost of oil. The higher oil is, the more it takes. Because for a perfect example, ConocoPhillips, they don't pump enough oil themselves to refine at full capacity on their own, so they have to buy oil from other companies. Well, if oil is $135 a barrel, they've got to pay that and then refine it. So they got to make money. They're in the business of making money. I mean, the Democrats are basically saying, "How about you not make money for the benefit of everyone else?" No.
what business is going to do that?
Sure.
I mean, it's capitalism, pursuit of the almighty dollar.
It's common
sense. Pursuit of the let's be the most bankrupt. So I was speaking to you on a related note. You know what? The Democrats, I think we got to award them for something. I think they got a great plan on how to fix price of gas. Put a $2 tax on every gallon.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's only logical.
Yeah.
And that's when it starts, and then 10 years later, it'll go up to $6.
The idea behind that, and it's a ridiculous idea if you have any common sense, is that they believe that if they charge more for gas, the demand will go down, which means the supply will overtake the demand, and the price will go down. The problem is you can't tax the people in China because China's demand has doubled in the past 5 years.
Yep.
And OPEC nations, including Russia and Mexico, have hit 12 million barrels a day of demand, 60% more than China and more than Western Europe.
Well, that's why – that's a lot of the reason that we're seeing such a massive increase in price of gasoline, because the demand is up so much. You know, when Bush first took office, or when Clinton left, people were like, well, gas was so cheap, then Bush stepped in. Yeah, but Bush didn't have anything to do with the rapid and mass industrialization of India and China.
Exactly,
what's making gasoline prices skyrocket.
And now it's become where OPEC nations that are, and Saudi Arabia is the same way, who are producing gasoline are using a lot of their own gasoline because their demand is going up. So they're exporting less. So if they're exporting less, we've got to start making something because otherwise we're not going
to
get it.
Yeah, there comes a time where we have to be a little more self-sufficient, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's only, you know, it's common sense. You know, we have oil all over the place in North America. We need to use it.
And
we need to use it until the technology has progressed enough such that we can have transit and factories and whatever in the future that don't require any or at least very little oil.
How about nuclear energy? It's funny because
no, that's far too logical for the Democrats.
Well, it's all the solutions that mm-hmm. we bring forth, mm-hmm. the Democrats don't want. It's like telling your little 4-year-old kid, mm-hmm. or I don't know, 4 is maybe a little too young for this analogy. 6-year-old kid, mm-hmm. you know what you have in the house for lunch? Oh well, we've got this, we've got that, and they just deny everything.
Right.
We've offered up the Democrats. Hey, Anwar's got a no, kill the caribou. We don't want to kill the caribou. All that, you know.
Right. Right.
Oh well, we can drill off the coast of Florida. No, we can't drill off the coast. No, that would kill people. We wouldn't want to do that. That's not good. Well, we can, you know, we can make nuclear energy. No, nuclear energy blows up too much. People die. It's just not good. What the hell do you want us to do then?
Yeah.
What's your solution?
They're tax it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
all they can think of.
But wait, that doesn't even make sense.
I know. We can make the price of it go down by making it go up.
Ah, okay. No.
How the hell do we do that again?
Your life can be prosperous if you die.
Exactly.
Not really. No. So,
I think that they should just listen to this episode
in
Capitol Hill.
Because they just don't get it. No, they are so adamant about being stupid and ignorant that they just will not accept logic to show that they're wrong.
And,
it's just not going to happen.
I think a lot of it, you know, for some people at least, is because they have the little D for Democrat in front of their name.
Dumbass.
There you go. They just, you know, they're so caught up in fitting the role of the Democrat or of the Republican that they don't make room for common sense because everything has to follow the party.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's I don't want to paint this just – the Republicans – there have been Republicans in this who have been just as bad. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just discovered this clip this morning. This is John McCain. I mean, he must – let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He must be impersonating a Democrat in this clip because it just doesn't make sense.
I don't like obscene profits being made anywhere. And I'd be glad to look not just at the windfall profits tax. That's not what bothers me. But we should look at any incentives that we are giving to people that or industries or corporations that are distorting the market.
So John McCain now acting like a liberal. It must have rubbed it off.
It must have after all those years.
Maybe he feels like he needs to take the place of Ted Kennedy while he is not able to.
He's the second oldest. No, he's the.
No, Robert Byrd is the oldest.
Yeah.
He's 90-something.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy.
Yeah, he's going to die any day.
Oh, yeah. He's on
We're
the
We're waiting
edge.
For him.
Ted Kennedy has been in that seat since 62. I don't know how old he is. 70s, mm-hmm. probably. Mm-hmm. McCain's in his 70s.
Yeah,
that's what we need 70s. To get the old people out.
Yeah, we do.
We should force you to retire.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've always said. Effective Congress starts at term limits.
Yeah, that's true. Also in oil, there is a story here that says that oil's perfect storm may blow over, but I don't see that happening. But mm-hmm. let's just read this. The perfect storm that has swept oil prices to $132 a barrel may subside over the coming months as rising crude supply from unexpected corners of the world finally comes on stream just as the global economic downturn begins to bite. The forces behind the meteoric price rise this spring are slowly receding. Nigeria has boosted output by 200,000 barrels a day this month, making up most of the shortfall caused by rebel attacks on pipelines in April. So there is good news.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria is producing 200,000 barrels a day.
Woohoo! That's enough for, like, Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's about Rhode Island.
Rhode Island's set.
Well, hey, the world's demands 86.8 million barrels a day, so that's, like, nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
So we can't use this as, like, we don't have to do anything.
Well, we factor, you know, them into the equation, and we only need 86.6 million.
Oh, yeah, totally. So they'll help a little bit.
Yeah.
Nigeria, way to go, Nigeria. So apparently supply is bouncing back from somewhere, but it's definitely not going to be enough to help us at all. I mean, we still need to drill. But hey, there is a solution, and this comes from arrogance, more or less, in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine Waters is a Democrat of California.
Sounds like a Democrat.
Yeah, she does. That's such a
Maxine.
Democrat name. Yeah. Before we get any further with that, what she believes, which is, by the way, nationalizing the oil industry, which is laughable as it is,
yeah.
because she's so arrogant that she thinks the government can do a better job at the oil industry than the oil companies.
Right. Who have been in the business for, ever since oil's been being used.
Remind me ever in the history of the country when an industry that has been run by the government has actually made money in the long run.
Huh.
Yeah, we can be sitting here for a long time because it's probably never happened. I haven't researched it, but I can almost guarantee.
Very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
So anyway, she says that she would be supportive of nationalizing oil. Even though she can't even think of the word, because she can't think of the word nationalize.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up just saying, I'd like to take over your companies. Quick background on her, though. In 2005 and 2006, she had the wonderful honor of being named one of the most corrupt members of Congress by the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Isn't that amazing? So she, one of the most corrupt senators in Congress, wants to take over the oil companies. And she is saying that the oil companies are corrupt because they're making a ton of money.
Right.
This doesn't make any sense. Here's the clip.
I can guarantee to the American people, because of the inaction of the United States Congress, ever increasing prices unless the demand comes down, and the $5 will look like a very low price in the years to come if we are prohibited from finding new reserves, new opportunities to increase supplies.
And guess what this liberal would be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing, would be about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies.
She can't even think of the word.
Would be basically... we would take over.
And it's funny, I'll link to the video because the video is even better because there are two people behind her in the video who are laughing.
Yeah, you could hear them there.
Because she can't spit out the word nationalizing. She's too brain dead.
Uh-huh.
That's how much she keeps up with it. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about something that a lot of people don't realize, or maybe they won't realize now, how oil, because oil affects everything, but how it affects our auto industry, which is already down, and how it's hurting it even more.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that after the break.
The new dimension of political talk. The Current Podcast.
The 2008 presidential race is heating up. Don't let the media speak for you. Make your own statement with political apparel from conservativebuys.com. They have the largest selection of t-shirts, bumper stickers, and political gifts on the net, including anti-Hillary, illegal immigration, and pro-Second Amendment gear. Conservativebuys.com also offers election gear featuring Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and more. And up to 20% of all proceeds go to support charities and conservative causes. Save $5 off a purchase of $20 or more. Conservativebuys.com.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey everybody, this is Jacob from The Current. I just want to let you all know of a new series we're doing called Teens in Politics. We're going to have a panel of four teenagers discussing teens in politics, who they support, and issues that are important to the youth of the country. All the candidates this year have acknowledged the fact that the teen vote is important to them this year. So join us on Saturday, April 26th for Teens in Politics and learn what teenagers believe and who they support in the upcoming election.
Sunday dinner. It was more than sitting down to one of Grandma's great recipes. Sunday dinner was an all-day event. A day of football and pickup games in the backyard. A day where the more the merrier was the rule. A day filled with family and friends and more than a few laughs. Sunday dinner topped off the most special day of the week. And no one remembers Sundays better than we do here in Michigan's Saginaw Valley. From cultural arts to down-home entertainment, championship golf courses to the Midwest's best shopping, Michigan's Saginaw Valley serves up something special for everyone. So get the boys together to play a round or three, call the girls to do some serious shopping, or just pile the kids in the car and follow the smell of Grandma's chicken. Because doing Sunday dinner upright is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Current Podcast.
Uh-huh.
Episode 97, May 23rd, 2008. We left you off. We were talking about oil, and now we want to talk about how it affects other industries, because it's not just, you know, affecting everyone's pocketbooks. It also affects, you know, the car industry and the food industry and pretty much everything, because everything runs off oil.
Right.
So, you know, Ford has to make production cuts now because...
Absolutely.
Why keep churning out all these trucks and SUVs when no one's buying them?
Mm-hmm.
So fast-rising gas prices claimed their latest victim Thursday, Ford Motor Company, which dropped its goal of becoming profitable by 2009, and said it will cut production of trucks and sport utility vehicles through the rest of the year. It was a warning shot to the rest of the beleaguered U.S. That's probably not how you pronounce that word, but who cares? U.S. auto industry, which is facing its worst sales in more than a decade.
Mm-hmm. I have two quick statistics right here. Of their trucks and SUVs, their best-selling truck is the Ford F-150,
mm-hmm.
the most-selling car in the world.
Yeah.
And then the SUV, obviously, the Ford Explorer. The Ford F-150 gets 14 miles per gallon city, 20 on the highway.
Yeah.
Okay? Explorer, 13 in the city, 19 on the highway. Nobody's going to buy that.
No one's going to buy it. Yeah, exactly.
When you have to pay, and when you have, what, you figure in a 17-gallon tank?
Yeah. Well, probably bigger than that.
$4 a gallon? I mean, that's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're filling up once a week.
Yeah.
For, you know, $100-something.
Does Ford have any hybrid vehicles?
They have the hybrid Escape.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then they have the Focus. It's not a hybrid. It just gets really good gas mileage.
Okay. Because, I mean, that's like the big thing now. Everybody wants mm-hmm. hybrid. I mean, GMC is turning that way. They're turning every freaking car they sell into hybrids.
Yeah, they've got they have tons of them in almost every deal. I know Buick and Cadillac even is coming out with one, Provoque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dearborn-based Ford didn't rule out layoffs or plant closures as it reaches in a slumping industry, saying it would release more details about its cost-cutting efforts in July. Ford cut its forecast for U.S. light vehicle sales this year to between 14.7 million and 15.1 million. Down from 17 million as recently as 2005. If sales drop as low as 14.7 million, it would be the slowest year for U.S. vehicle sales since 1993. Well, no one wants to buy a new car.
Yep. Well, nobody has money to buy a new car.
Well, yeah, unless that car gets crazy gas mileage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you buy a new car?
Mm-hmm.
You should drive around. You know, everyone's driving bikes now or motorized mopeds.
I'll tell you what,
mopeds.
If you get mopeds and bicycles or motorcycles, if
motorcycles
can bring you
gas mileage.
Huh?
Motorcycles could
get amazing
mileage.
Gas mileage.
Mopeds.
But the Democrats will be against those too because they're worse on pollutants.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was like I was listening to, I was watching Glenn Beck and T. Boone Pickens, the president of BP, was
mm-hmm.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how he doesn't believe that, you know, oil prices are going to go down basically because the Democrats aren't going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's investing in wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, though, that environmentalists say that wind is no good because it kills birds. No, it doesn't kill birds. Birds kill themselves by running into the turbines. If you're that stupid as a bird, you deserve to die. Survival of the fittest. Come on. That was how we were as humans came around.
Isn't this ridiculous? Every time. That's an environmentally friendly option.
Yeah, oh, totally.
We can burn coal and release pounds of pollutants into the air each minute. Or we can have wind turbine, but oh God, no, the bird's going to run into
them. The birds will run into them. Hey, the birds can run into anything. Birds can run into buildings, windows.
The birds can run into the coal factory.
Exactly. So it's not really going to help. If we're so worried about the birds,
then we should just break down civilization altogether.
We should just demolish everything.
And live in a cave.
Exactly. No, but also, you know, industries, this also hurts. I mean, you look at food industry, the trucking industry. I mean, we talked a couple weeks ago about the truckers, the independent truckers who strike to get diesel down.
Yeah,
which
didn't do anything.
But it sent a message to, well, nobody. But, you know, it hurts their industry, and it hurts the trucking industry. Food prices go up because of this. I mean, everything goes up because we rely so much on oil, and every industry works off of oil. You know, boats, planes, anything.
And a lot of people are thinking, well, why would food go up because of oil? That doesn't mean there's no oil in food. Yeah, but, you know, it takes oil to get the food to where it sells.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you know, if you want to start, really, go to farmers markets for your fruit.
Yeah.
Don't go to Bush's or, you know, a chain grocery store. They import those from Florida or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a farmers market. You know, you're not going to get fruit year-round, obviously, because it's not seasonal where you live necessarily, but they're not shipping it from, point A to point B, so they can sell it for cheaper. Now, they still have to charge more because they're still being affected by oil because their tractors and their, you know, whatever, all the crap they use is all run off
of
oil.
It'll be sufficiently less than
Bush's. Oh, yeah, because you're not shipping it over there. So, there are alternatives if you think about it. You just gotta think.
Yep.
Taxes.
Yeah, I was wondering what
gases.
Going on.
What are you doing?
I don't know. This king just kind of hit it.
Taxes are a big part in oil. And we're going to focus on Chicago for a minute. Tired of seeing the price of the pump jump every time you need to buy gasoline? Well, the record high price of gasoline in the Chicago area is linked to a record high rate of taxation. Nearly 20% of the Chicago price. So, God, I'm burping all over. 20% of the gas, the amount you pay for gas in the Chicago area is related to tax. It goes to a tax of some sort. That is ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, this is the funny thing, is that, I mean, 15% of the cost of the pump is taxes, 4% is profit for the oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
Who is gouging prices? Is it the oil companies?
Democrats.
Or is it the government?
Yeah.
It's the government, because 15% on average of your cost at the pump is taxes.
Yep.
And they don't want to give that up. I mean, they're hypocrites. Not. They can't give that up. That is a stream of income they have relied so much on now.
Yeah.
A CBS 2 political editor, Mike Flannery.
Jeez.
Yeah, $4.49 in Chicago.
Good.
But 20% of that is taxes. So if that tax isn't there, mental math would, I don't know what that would be, but would it be a lot less?
Yeah, it would.
All right.
Far less.
They had a...
Let's get an exact number.
I
got an exact number.
Okay, you can use your cell phone to figure that out. Okay, in the city, motor fuel taxes, this is in Chicago, originally for building roads, currently go to the feds, Illinois, Cook County, and Chicago. So four levels of taxation, the federal government, the state government, the county, and the city. Four levels of taxation. Now, the 9.25% sales tax is split among Illinois, Chicago, and Cook County's share of the state sales tax, a county home rule tax, RTA transit tax, and a Chicago home rule levy. So in Chicago, they have like five levels of taxes.
Gas would be $3.59 without that tax.
There you go. $3.59 without all the taxes. Now, of course, you're going to tax a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to expect you to drop all taxes.
Right.
But 20%?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's a percent.
Mm-hmm.
The Watchdog Civic Federation says that on a $4 gallon of gas, the total tax is 79.2 cents. That compares to 77 cents in Los Angeles and 65 cents in New York City. So Chicago is taxed up the buttocks.
It is.
Up the buttocks. They're getting reamed. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And
it really is,
who's really to blame now? Mm-hmm. Who's gouging prices? Think about it. It's not the oil companies.
Once again, remember that 4% number.
Yeah.
Oil company profit is only 4%.
Only 4% of what you paid the pump.
That is a very minute profit margin right
and
there.
If you, and the station owners, only 5% of gas stations are owned by these big companies.
Mm-hmm.
So station owners have to buy gas wholesale and then turn around and sell. They barely, barely break even. Mm-hmm. They barely make any money on gasoline, any gas station owner.
Yep.
Their goal is to draw you in with gasoline, and their profit is what they
comes
make in the store.
Snacks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all snacks because... It is so
snacks
expensive.
And cigarettes and lottery tickets and all that stuff.
Yeah, most stations only then turn a profit, only turn cents on a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do one more quote before we get off this topic because it just shows the ignorance of Congress. Quote, people don't get it. Demand is not crazy. Why are prices going crazy? End quote.
What do you mean demand is not crazy? We use how many millions of barrels a day?
86.8.
That's minuscule.
That's Senator Herb Kohl, Democrat, out of the cheese state, Wisconsin. So apparently he hasn't looked at, you know, the international demand. Demand here sure is going down a little, but they're more than making up for it in China, India, OPEC nations.
Demand is off the scale. It's off the charts.
The charts. Hey, Britney Spears then and now. No. All right. gosh. Moving on. We've got to talk about... Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. What a swell guy.
What a swell guy. You know, Barack Obama has put a lot of things off limits.
He has.
You know, you're not allowed to talk about his position, foreign policy.
Right.
Not allowed to talk about his past drug use. Not allowed to talk about his past.
His ears.
His ears are huge. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't talk about that.
He doesn't like you to make fun of his ears. No.
Well, I wouldn't either, but hey, they're huge. So, yeah. Hey, Dumbo, let us be. All right. But now, apparently, his wife is off limits. He was on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts. And he was basically saying, hey, and the Tennessee GOP launched a sad campaign about how his wife is crazy.
Right.
You know, she said that. It's the first time in her adult life that she's proud of her country, blah, 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 blah. She's making these outrageous statements. Finally, someone calls her out on it, and Barack Obama gets his whitey-tighties all in a bunch. Here's the clip.
The GOP, should I be the nominee, I think can say whatever they want to say about me, my track record. If they think that they're going to try to make Michelle an issue in this campaign, they should be careful, because... that I find unacceptable. The notion that you start attacking my wife or my family, and for them to try to distort or to play snippets of her remarks in ways that are unflattering to her, I think is just low class.
That's just low class.
Yeah.
Hey, guess
so
what, Barack
almost
Obama?
As low class as his trashy pastor.
Almost. Well, no, he's not low class. He's living with the rich white people.
High in the hog.
He is living because he's got hog. He's got that $10,000
rich white people.
He's got that $10,000 house on back in Illinois now that was provided for him by the church. Now he's living with the rich white people. He is living with
$10,000 house.
$10,000 square foot.
I was going to say $10,000 house.
A really glorified box. Yeah.
Hardwood floors.
Barack Obama goes out and says, "Keep off my wife. You're not allowed to touch my wife." Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you're sending your wife on the campaign trail and she's saying these outrageous things,
guess what?
You better expect her to be brought down for it, okay?
Yep.
That is the risk you run by putting her out there.
Yep.
All right? And these quotes are not being taken out of context by any stretch of the imagination. They are simply being played for what they are, which are really disturbing things. And I guess I don't have any clips of them in the inventory, unfortunately. But she said things like, "I mean, this is the first time I'm proud of my in my adult life of my country because Barack Obama's running for president." Ooh, yeah. You never been proud? When the Berlin Wall came down, you weren't proud of that?
Yeah.
She's nuts.
She's crazy.
She's crazy.
Absolutely psycho.
And Barack Obama is playing the card of, well, hope and change, and everything's off limits because I'm so amazing. Right. Basically, he's Jesus, and you can't touch Jesus. Jesus is off limits to everybody else.
Barack Obama!
Everything's off limits. Everything's off
limits. Well, Michelle's a psycho. She really is.
She is crazy. And that's what they're hey, he knows she's crazy, okay? He lives with her.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably terrified of her. Probably terrified to tell her, hey, stop being such an ignoramus.
Moron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has to gallivant her around and let her go, talk at all these places.
Well, she just wants her freaking 15 minutes of fame and,
Oh, yeah. She doesn't care.
Anything that's going to get her face back on the news, she'll say.
Oh, yeah. She's probably sitting down in the hotel room every night watching CNN, seeing if she makes it on.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the risk you run by putting your wife out there. It's just like Bill Clinton or Chelsea Clinton.
Yep.
You have to... They are accountable for what they say, and the notion that you can't slam them because that's attacking my family.
Yeah,
they're not attacking your family.
When you're the president, your family's going to be in the news.
Get a spine.
Bush's daughter, her wedding was all over the news. Okay, she doesn't deserve it. But guess what?
She's
the president. It's going to happen.
Yep, and it was a very nice wedding at that.
It was.
Did you see the pictures and people?
I did.
They're very nice. It was a down home.
Quite formal.
They had steak and chicken and all that stuff. Because they were on Leno. I was watching Leno and they were on. They have a new book out, a children's book, her and her mother. But the wedding looked very nice.
Well, yeah, because Laura, isn't she? She's a librarian for a while there.
She is a librarian, and she used to be a teacher. Yeah. And so is Jenna, apparently a teacher. I don't know what the other twin does. The other twin doesn't really do much. She just kind of hangs around. She probably just loafs off her dad in the White House eats the nice food they make there.
Yeah.
It's probably a good time.
I'd imagine so.
I'd imagine. Hey, guess what? Vice presidential candidates are being picked now because it's that time of year again. And, Barack Obama and John McCain have begun taking quite quiet but purposeful steps towards choosing their running mates. Fresh signs that the Democratic nomination fight is over. What's that disgusted look you have?
Who is that?
That is Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, who is a potential Republican vice presidential nominee. He's Indian American.
I can tell.
His real name is like Pushumiushmu.
Pushumiushmu?
I don't think that's what it is. Exactly. You look it up. Maybe you can pronounce it better than I. Well, search for Bobby Jindal on Wikipedia. It's like the first thing.
Bobby, how do you spell Jindal?
J-I-N-D-A-L.
Okay, I didn't know if it was a J or a G.
No, I'm pretty sure it's that. McCain has a head start in
It is a J.
Yeah, I know. It's a J. That's what I said.
You said G.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you said G.
Well, you're wrong. McCain has a head start in the Veep stakes, with Obama still fighting off Never Say Die Hillary Rodham Clinton. The GOP candidate will be getting better acquainted with three potential picks during a holiday gathering at his home this weekend, while Obama's team is still in the early stages.
Piyush Jindal.
Piyush?
That's
how you pronounce it?
P-I-Y-U-S-H. Piyush.
Okay.
Piyush Jindal.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so basically Obama has hired on former Fannie Mae CEO Jim Johnson. He is overseeing the early vetting for Obama, Democratic officials say, and that allows for a quick start. Johnson won't be starting from scratch since he did the same job for Democratic nominees John Kerry and Walter Mondale. Many of the people Johnson checked for Kerry will be likely candidates for Obama's consideration. Those names include Senator Clinton. I don't know about you. I don't think Clinton would ever accept being a VP.
No.
Because I don't think...
She's too power-hungry.
Exactly. She's too power-hungry, and the vice presidency is like the least powerful position in the government. You basically sit around and wait for the president to die or grow ill.
Right.
And then every once in a while, there might be a tie-breaking vote needed for you in the Senate, that, and then you
that,
go do that.
That and you get to go to some dinner, some speeches. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's how it is.
Duck, you know, duck hunting, whatever you know you want to do. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson might be on tap. The problem is he's a little bit of a doofus, so I wouldn't really like him. Anti-war Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. That would be interesting, getting a Republican as your running mate for Obama. Because Obama does preach the notion that he is Mr. Bipartisan,
right,
even though he hasn't proved that anywhere in his life, and he's the most liberal senator in Congress. So maybe to appease the moderates a little more, you can get a moderate Republican, Chuck Hagel, to run with you.
Even though he won't do anything.
Well, no, I know. But you see, all a vice president is to win the state wherever he or she is from.
That's true.
And to basically increase your credibility on whatever issue you want or whatever, you know, whatever you're looking for.
Right.
Despite the fact that they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska, Kerry's eventual choice was, of course, pretty boy John Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
John Edwards. He endorsed Barack Obama. He was in Michigan. Yeah, they endorsed him in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he was so pleased to be here.
Rundown furniture factory?
Exactly. I don't think they're run down quite yet.
A lot of them are.
Really? I haven't been to Grand Rapids in a long time. So those are the options for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of those, you've got Hillary Clinton, Bill Richardson, Chuck Hagel, and John Edwards. Which one would you want? Now, I understand neither of us are going to vote for Obama.
Right.
But...
What were the middle two? Bill Richardson and...
Bill Richardson, Mr. Doofus, and Chuck Hagel, Republican senator, anti-war Republican senator. Moderate, really, more or less.
Chuck Hagel, he'd bring the most common sense.
Well, yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Even though he's anti-war.
Now let's get to something a little more important.
Republicans.
Republican steak-eating Republicans. Steak-eating poor people-hating Republicans.
Uh-huh.
All right. So here are the people who have been mentioned for his campaign. Now, this is some of these are going to be meeting for a, I'm assuming, steak-eating barbecue for Memorial Day in Arizona.
Amen.
You've got Florida Governor Charlie Crist, who looks like Pete Carroll, the football coach at USC, which is increases his credibility insurmountably. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, or Pashumi, or whatever his name is.
Pish. I want to know how Pish got elected in Louisiana.
That's a good idea.
Must have been a bad opposition.
I think it was. Well,
Mohammed Al Zarqawi.
It was Osama bin Laden on the map.
Yeah.
He actually won in a runoff election, I think, by 54% to a couple of people. Louisiana was a mess and has been a mess, and so, you know, they're looking for change. And, of course, Governor Mitt Romney. Those are the three. Now, I'm going to throw in my pick, which is Jim DeMint, Senator out of South Carolina, who I really like. That's my pick. So let's put those four
I wouldn't mind throwing Rudy Giuliani in there.
Okay, we'll throw Rudy in there. So we got Charlie Crist, Bobby Jindal, Mitt Romney, Jim DeMint, and Rudy Giuliani. Those are our five. Now, this is going to be our poll of the week.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
So my pick would be Jim DeMint. Of course, I threw my hat in there.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want?
Mine would obviously be Rudy Giuliani, but of the three he's talking to, Mitt Romney.
I would agree. I've said, and I said this in the election update, I don't like Bobby Jindal because he's 36 years old, he's young, and if we're going to bash Barack Obama for only being in the Senate for a couple years and then running, you're a hypocrite if you pick him.
Right.
You're setting yourself
up
for that.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for a mirage of Democratic ads that are going to blast you for the same thing. Charlie Crist, the only reason I like Charlie Crist is because, and I hate him because he's the same as McCain, the whole global warming crap. He wants to tighten emission regulations on oil, on, you know, car companies.
Right.
We both know that's terrible. But he would automatic win in Florida. That's the only good thing.
Yeah.
He said it would automatically be a win in Florida. Yeah. So that's your positive.
I would like to see Mitt Romney in because he would provide a little opposition to McCain's thoughts on the oil industry and on auto companies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's a Michigan man.
Yeah.
And I think that, if you want to jumpstart Michigan's economy again, it's got to be through the automotive industry.
Yep.
Help out the automotive industry. I think Mitt Romney would be the guy to help to do that.
He would definitely increase the economy credibility that McCain lacks, even though he wouldn't do anything.
Right.
But hey, who cares?
Well, he's a businessman.
It's true. He's a businessman. Well, he wouldn't do anything like power wise. He'd just kind of sit there and be like, "Ah, Mitt Romney, I'm the vice president."
Which is the same reason Michigan needed Dick DeVos. Wow, our businesses suck here. What should we do? Ooh, well, we can hire Granholm, who's removed every goddamn business from the state, or we can bring in Dick DeVos, who was a CEO of a massive, profitable company.
Amway. And it was funny because I remember commercials against Dick DeVos by Jennifer Granholm. Dick DeVos. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is just hilarious. Yeah. Because they were ridiculous. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton and why she's still in the race. And it has something to do with killing people. That and more after the break.
This is The Current. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. 80 SPF sunblock wearer.
Mr. 80 SPF sunblock wearer.
There are 24 hours in a day. You're wearing 80-hour protection. If the sun fails to go down, you'll be ready.
Don't forget the moonlight.
Your coconut-scented force field blocks out all the sun's rays and any stray rays from another sun in another galaxy.
Your star.
30 SPF. Please, you might as well be wearing cooking oil.
Something smells delicious.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. 80 SPF sunblock wearer. In fact, feel free to crack one open at high noon in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Mr. 80 SPF sunblock wearer.
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, Cartersville, Georgia.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce states when signage is part of overall marketing, the increase in revenue is profound. Signage is the least expensive yet most cost-effective form of advertising, and you invest just once. The LED Sign Company of Texas is number one in sales among more than 500 sign companies nationwide, and our last 10 testimonials averaged 45.6% in sales increases. To see real case studies and testimonials, visit us at valueofsigns.com.
Hi, this is Jamie from America's Debate Radio. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern as Mike and I take your phone calls on today's top stories and hottest issues. That's America's Debate Radio. Find out more at radio.americasdebate.net.
Do you worry about your toddler falling and needing stitches? Do you want to protect your child from an unneeded hospital visit? Have you protected your child by covering your stone brick or potentially dangerous fireplace hearth? Baby Safety Foam is a safety foam product that is custom fitted to your specific fireplace, assuring your child's safety at all times. Place an order today on our website and you're guaranteed to have your own custom fireplace baby safety foam cover at your door in days. Order online now at babysafetyfoam.com. That's babysafetyfoam.com.
Exercising their right to free speech.
Hey, this is our old intro. I didn't even realize this was our old intro.
Over dispute over a fence.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's my fence. No, it's my fence.
I thought this was just Living in America. I was wrong.
Whatever. Whatever works.
Whatever's on. Hey, we're back.
Yeah,
and
we are.
We are talking about Hillary Clinton wanting to kill Barack Obama, figuratively, kind of, of course. Uh-huh. She says, and this was the comment, and I'll play it for you, that she basically is staying in the race in case Barack Obama gets shot. You know, mm-hmm. It could happen.
You know, between my opponent and his camp and some in the media, there has been this urgency to end this. And, you know, historically that makes no sense. So I find it a bit of a mystery.
You don't buy the party unity argument?
I don't, because, again, I've been around long enough. You know, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
So in history, in 1968,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
So the, hey, it could happen. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama could be shot,
mm-hmm.
and she would be the nominee.
It's very true.
Now, here's my thought process, and I think this is right. I didn't check it. If she were to drop out mm-hmm. and Barack Obama got shot, wouldn't she be the nominee anyway because she had the most delegates second to him?
I would believe so.
So would it really even matter if she dropped out unless she's planning on killing him? Which is my new conspiracy theory. Totally sarcastic conspiracy theory of the week. Hillary Clinton is going to assassinate Barack Obama. Chelsea's going to do it. Hey, who else?
She couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
She's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, break.
Hey, Bill Clinton's probably...
She's never got anything right, much less a good
have
shot.
Have you heard they want to prop her up to run for president in 2016?
Oh,
that was... Are you talking...
Is she going to be old enough?
Does she have to be
35?
35. She's 20-something now. 20... I don't know what the hell she is. Anyways, but you know, it was interesting. I was reading something today. Joseph Epstein of the Weekly Standard made an interesting point, and that was, you know, when you're running for president or when you are president, there are presidents who believe in something and there are presidents who don't. And historically, the presidents who believe in something do better. And we can look, you know, Lyndon Johnson, Ronald Reagan, presidents like that. And even President Bush, who totally believes that terrorism needs to be obliterated, and that is his driving force. When you look at the presidential candidates like Barack Obama and look at the Clintons, they want Chelsea to run in 2016. Why? What is she? You don't run for president just for kicks and giggles and to carry on the family name.
Does she have a massive motive?
Yeah.
You know, hidden, what is your unspoken motive?
What is your belief? And the same goes for Barack Obama. What is his motive or belief? And it's not change. And you can ask these people that and they'll be like, well, I want to make the country. No, shut up.
I'd be willing to bet every dime in my bank account that if you were to ask what Chelsea Clinton's beliefs are, they'd fall right in line with her mom.
Oh yeah,
they'd be rehearsed even.
She's just regurgitating.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton's regurgitation.
Yeah,
they're basically swapping vomit. Okay, it was Bill Clinton who regurgitated all this crap
into Hillary.
Hillary's
just, you know, passing down the baton.
Regurgitated into Chelsea.
Yeah,
you know, I look at Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I look at Barack Obama, who I truly believe he has all these crazy relationships with all these crazy people, and the only reason he has it is because it helped him advance another rung up the ladder of politics.
Right.
The only reason he wants to be president is because he can be called the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton's the same way. John McCain, I think, to some extent, the same way, but I think he's a little better.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a president running who believes in something strongly enough.
I don't agree. I absolutely agree with that.
And we don't have someone who's going to go in there and actually accomplish something and believe in it and not waver. Bill Clinton in the 90s, everyone was like, oh, we want to be more, you know, middle of the road. So what did he do? He reformed welfare. Right. He didn't do anything radical on health care. He didn't do anything radical on terrorism. He conformed to the middle of the road. He didn't stand his ground, which is what we need.
Right.
Well,
if I said it before, you'll hear it again. But I think it was Rush Limbaugh that I think put it perfectly, that this election, a lot of people believe, you know, they don't have a candidate that they like.
Mm-hmm.
They're voting for a candidate that they think is going to do the least amount of damage.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's unfortunate.
It's a lesser of three evils.
Uh-huh.
You know, if there's a candidate who strongly believes in something and displays that, then there will be supporters who strongly believe in that candidate.
Right.
And we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem. It's a shame. And I'm reluctant to vote for John McCain, but I don't see
anybody.
He's
a hell of a lot better than the other two.
Yeah. And I could vote for Bob Barr of the Libertarian Party, but Bob Barr's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I could vote for, you know, whoever.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
The Greens Party.
Whatever. What is he running for now?
Green Party again?
Oh, he's the consumer rights advocate. Crazy nutso. Anyways, Hillary Clinton did apologize for her comments saying, oh, hey, Barack Obama could be assassinated. She says that I regret that if my referencing that moment of trauma for our entire nation, and in particular the Kennedy family, which...
Yes! Beat around the bush as much as you can. Sugarcoat it.
It's funny because he's talking about a Kennedy assassination while Ted Kennedy has a brain tumor.
Right.
She says she apologizes if it was in any way offensive.
Yeah, not offensive at all. No. I just love how they sugarcoat it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to explode. It's going to rapidly disassemble.
Exactly. Okay? It'll rapidly disassemble. I love that. I love that line. Anyways, funny, by the way, she references that and how it was so long. In the 1968 race, it had only been going on for 3 months in June. New Hampshire didn't start voting, and they were first until March 12th. That shows you how quick we started this election. I don't know what does. Hey, guess what? Sound clip of the week. this is from Fox News and Shepard Smith, and it was the leader of the House of Yahweh. And he is crazy.
The House of Yahweh, by the way, is one of those polygamous cult things.
And he believes that there's going to be a nuclear baby that will destroy the Earth, and that'll be the, you know, Armageddon.
Right.
And he also believes something very interesting about global warming. And, you know, it's an interesting explanation. I haven't heard it before. Also included in this clip is Shepard Smith just basically shitting on this guy's life at the end of the clip, basically saying, you're full of crap, and we're kicking you off the show. So listen in.
Excuse me, what's causing global warming?
The
If you have seen the latest scientific test...
Now, I was asking you what you teach. It's my understanding that you teach that what is it again?
I'm trying to explain it to you, but the STDs, they're in the water today, even in tap water. They're in the air we breathe. Now, Yahweh, of course, formed a firmament around this earth for the protection of mankind. Hmm. But that firmament is alive and working. And the scientists that today that are working on it, they know that there's STDs in the air, the firmament, that is destroying.
Are you the prophet?
I am the last day's witness spoken of in Isaiah, the 44th chapter.
I'm frightened of you a little bit, and I think it's irresponsible for us to have you inside the television box right now promoting this drivel. I think that our having you on today is irresponsible. You're facing charges coming up. You're telling people that a nuclear baby is coming, that the end of the world is near, and that sexually transmitted diseases cause global warming, and that's all a load of crap. Thank you for coming.
That's why I love Shepard Smith, but this guy is so nuts.
Oh,
STDs, the claws of globe warming, and the firmament around the...
It's a nuclear baby.
A nuclear baby will destroy everyone. Apparently, he predicted something about bombs in Iran that was earlier in the clip. I mean, the guy is nuts.
Yeah, I love how Shepard... I think it was irresponsible of us to have you on the show.
I think everything you say is a load of crap. Goodbye. And he just cuts him off. That's why I love Shepard Smith. Doesn't
incredible.
Take any bull.
Incredible.
Hey, fun story about San Francisco how they're killing everybody. Not literally, but figuratively again. Kind of like how...
Killing their bank accounts.
Yeah. The Bay Area air quality... You know, everything in San Francisco has to be politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be everything perfect and put together and nice because there are a bunch of liberal, you know, homosexuals. Yeah. Anyways, and I mean that, and it's true. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District's Board of Directors on Wednesday approved new rules to charge businesses a fee for the pollution they emit. The group's board of directors voted 15-1. I would hate to be the one guy who didn't. He's probably getting a load of crap right now.
Mm-hmm.
On unprecedented...
Well, because he's the only logical one.
Exactly.
Right-minded, smart
person. On unprecedented new rules that will impose fees on factories, power plants, oil refineries, and other businesses that emit carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases. The agency which regulates air pollution in the 9-county Bay Area will be the first in the country to charge companies fees based on their greenhouse gas emissions, experts say. Mm-hmm. The new rules will take effect July 1st. The modest fee of 4.4 cents per ton of carbon dioxide probably won't be enough to force companies to reduce their emissions. So, hey... They're going to charge people not in an intention to reduce their emissions because they admit it's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But backers say it sets an important precedent in combating climate change and could serve as a model for regional air districts nationwide.
So, you know what's really going to happen here?
What?
People and businesses are going to pack up
yep.
and go where they don't have to pay more.
Yep.
They're going to shut down the economy of San Francisco
yep.
and it's going to be a hellhole like Detroit.
It's funny because they even say, it doesn't solve global warming, but it gets us thinking in the right terms. Hello? Okay. What? Why do it? Why don't you just say, hey, why don't we just start thinking about global warming?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to charge? The Democrats think that we have to charge money and charge money and charge money to get anybody to think about anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just wrong. You're assuming we're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So the fee doesn't actually solve anything. But
we'll do it anyway.
But it gets us thinking.
It's kind of cool.
And guess who the biggest people are going to get oil refineries are going to be hit hardest.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
They're going to have to pay more than $50,000 a year. Yet oil refineries...
Ooh, guess what that means? That means prices at the pump go up a little more.
Exactly. They're charging oil refineries more, which aren't even making money as it is right
mm-hmm.
now. We've talked about Exxon. Their profits are down. Sunoco's profits, Tessera in the refinery business. They're going to charge refineries more. It doesn't make sense to me. They know gas is high, it's killing people, yet they're going to charge refineries
mm-hmm.
up to $50,000 a year so they can make a statement about global warming?
It's ridiculous.
Are you serious? Now, they say the majority of businesses will pay less than a dollar a year, so it's all good, fine and dandy.
Uh-huh.
Well, some can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Some literally, the majority of businesses, I don't buy that, but... You know, the businesses who are going to be paying more than this dollar a year,
mm-hmm.
some can literally not afford that with all the mm-hmm. expenses going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Especially with California taxes.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And the state of California is pissed off too
mm-hmm.
because they've assembled the California Air Resource Board and they have done it the right way. They have gathered leaders of businesses to come together and try to figure out a way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the right way to do it.
Right.
You know, I always say Democrats love diplomacy with other countries, but when it comes to diplomacy with businesses, it's out of the question. So they are, and they're pissed off because they are going to approve this final admission plan in the end of the year, and San Francisco's already doing something to curb it.
Yep.
And let me see if I can find the quote. I got to find this quote here. Maybe it was might have been in the video clip. Oh yes. We see a direct connection between the climate and air pollution, said Jack Broadbent, the district's executive director. We believe the changing climate is going to require effort on the federal, state, and local level. Now, he also said something about how, the warmer, climate change increases surface temperatures, and the warmer it gets in San Francisco, the more pollution, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should take a look at the weather data.
That would be smart.
From San Francisco. The average temperature in 2006 in San Francisco was 59.1 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh.
Modest.
Mm-hmm.
2007, it was 54.9 degrees Fahrenheit. Ooh, what the happened there?
Yeah, kind of fell 5 degrees.
So far this year, 53.2 degrees.
What, fell another degree?
Fahrenheit. So it's getting colder in San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Just like it's getting colder here. I mean, it's been cold here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we had one of the worst winters we ever had.
I mean, and there was a story, I don't know, maybe it is still on Drudge, how people are, their Memorial Day weekends are being met with snow.
Oh, yeah.
It's May 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but it will be eventually. And they are...
Unless that nuclear baby comes.
I don't know. And they are being met with snow.
Uh-huh.
And we're not talking about, like, the mountainous areas of Colorado. We're talking about upper Michigan got snow the past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. We had an frost warning the other day here in Michigan.
Yeah. Right in southern Michigan.
In southern Michigan.
Damn near Ohio.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me that we're having global warming. But hey, all these tornadoes I predicted yesterday, the tornadoes, the big mile-wide tornado in Colorado, will be blamed on global warming.
Well, of course it will.
Despite the fact that it doesn't match up with the facts.
It's illogical. It fits.
The facts are that it's just not warming.
Right.
Hey, guess what? The UN is finally wising up.
Hey.
Kind of, sort of. The UN released a study on Wednesday, and it reports a decline in fatal attacks of terrorism worldwide, and says U.S. think tank data showing sharp increases were distorted due to the inclusion of killings in Iraq. Even if the Iraq, quote, terrorism data are included, there has still been a substantial decline in the global terrorism toll. So the 2007 Human Security Brief, an annual report funded by the governments of Canada, Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, and Britain. For example, global terrorism fatalities declined by 40% between July and September 2007, driven by a 55% decline in the terrorism death toll in Iraq after the so-called surge of new U.S. troops and a ceasefire by the Shiite militant Mehdi Army, the brief said. So, the UN, who I don't put any credibility or stock in.
I have never.
So, really, I shouldn't really take this study for, you know, what it is, which is probably a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I agree. Obviously, terrorism has gone down, but I don't trust the UN with the study. Hopefully, someone else does something else
similar,
that proves something, because the UN isn't very credible. But they concede that terrorism has gone down. They concede the surge has worked.
Right.
Why can't the Democrats?
Yep.
Why not? Why can't they see the
Democrats
lights?
Are too lazy to do a study.
Well, yeah.
They just do a study tax. Makes sense.
If they need to do a study, they'll just tax people to fund that study.
Yeah.
And it won't actually prove anything.
Of course.
It'll fit with the other mantra. What else they do? But this is good news to see that we have a situation where terrorism has gone down.
And people other than American Republicans, you know, believe it.
Yeah. And we always say, and, you know, I always say, and most Republicans always say, that Bush has made us safer because of his measures against global terrorism. And Barack Obama and the Democrats, oh, that's not true. And they hate us more. And hey, guess what? Prove to me
that they hate us more.
Yeah, with a study, prove to me. Do you have a hate index for the countries?
In September of 2001, they hated us. It's ridiculous.
Is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Yeah. Are you just going to put a number on it? Well, Hugo Chavez is probably a 9.
There you go. Yeah.
But this is hard evidence that, and this is fact, that terrorism is on the decline and that it is going down. And that
at least,
is
at least fact for the United Nations.
Well, yes.
Which, for many people, is a very trusted and reliable source.
I want to talk about this real quick because it's one of the weird stories, and I love one of the weird stories. Should I talk about Urban Outfitters? I don't know. Urban Outfitters is apparently glorifying terrorism. There's this – you got to see this shirt. It's actually kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the shirt, and it's really – it's got what appears to be a boy of some descent holding a gun. What flag is that, by the way?
I think that's Syria.
Syria, okay. So we have a Syrian flag with a little boy.
Libya.
And he's holding a gun. There's several of them holding a gun. Basically, they're selling the Palestinian, it's called the Kiafe, I believe is the correct pronunciation. And they're selling it as a hip and stylish accessory. But this time they stepped way over the line with an openly anti-Israel t-shirt that glorifies Palestinian terrorism and child abuse. So, might it be the Palestinian flag or is it...
Oh, you know, that's a good idea.
Because it is about Palestine. It is about Palestine. I mean, these might be Palestinian kids holding guns, and it says, and it says under it,
yeah,
it says
Palestinian. Yep.
Okay. It says free chive victimized, and it's got these kids holding a gun. I mean, I don't know how you make something like that hip and cool and fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh jive victimized is what it says, and it's got three kids holding guns with a Palestinian flag on it. That's creepy.
One of the biggest problems here is that that Palestinian child has a gun and not a rock. I thought Palestinians threw rocks.
They can't afford guns. Okay. That's one rich kid.
Let's be real here.
So, no, that is creepy. And actually, Rachel Ray, who is one of the most perkiest women on earth, which is disturbing, she was seen in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
With the same kind of what they call a kefir. Maybe I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. But it is considered a terrorist clothing, basically, in Palestine, and the design on it, because it's becoming this hip thing, apparently, thanks to Urban Outfitters and Rachel Ray on the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And it's funny because she is selling lattes at Dunkin' Donuts, which is the last thing that woman needs.
Yeah.
My God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's so irritating.
Last thing terrorists would ever have. They can't afford lattes.
Well, it'd be a little weird for them to have to, anyways.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the weirder places people have gotten married.
Uh-huh.
On a roller coaster. Now, look, I was telling Logan about this story. Uh-huh. Look at these people and tell me they don't look like they would be the kind of to get married on a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Look at this.
Suspenders.
She is. They're like.
And pink hair.
Yeah, he's got pink hair for one.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks. Well, they both look white trash.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but still.
I'm surprised the roller coaster can hold that much weight.
And
that's a lot of weight on that poor thing.
And to make it even better, they were married by an Elvis impersonator.
Wow.
I mean, talk about a high-class wedding. I mean, you talk about...
Yes.
They met on the internet, and they decided that they really liked roller coasters. Jerry and Leslie Fleming.
On the Voyage is the name of the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's
the
in
Voyage.
Santa Claus, Indiana.
Santa Claus, Indiana.
Do you know
Indiana.
Where that's at?
I do not.
Apparently, it's called Holiday World in Santa Claus, Indiana. So it's quite the fine establishment.
Well, it looks like it.
I mean, you're talking high class.
Well, I think Cedar Point considers this to be their direct competition.
Oh, totally.
Holidayland.
Santa Claus. The couple who bonded over their love of roller coasters had an Elvis impersonator officiate the wedding. It's bad when you get married on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's bad when you get married with pink hair.
Uh-huh.
But to get married by an Elvis impersonator, I mean, wow. That's how you're going to remember your wedding day? How did you guys meet? Well, we loved roller coasters. Oh, what was the wedding like? Well, it was so romantic.
Uh-huh.
It was
on a roller coaster
in Holiday World in Santa Claus, Indiana. Oh, that's interesting. And you would give like the weird look. And the Elvis impersonator married us. Oh, wow. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just.
She will never have friends.
She will never have friends. They will never have kids.
No,
they
no.
should not even be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the quote from the guy. I've loved coasters my entire life, and I've always known I wanted to get married on one. What?
Ever since I was a young child, I knew.
Eight-year-old little boy.
I knew.
I always wanted to get married on a roller coaster.
Unbelievable.
He didn't really care what his wife thought. Even if his wife was like, okay, no. That's crazy.
However, you think this story is crazy.
Oh, well, wait until we get to the next one.
That next one is
And
is
after
mad.
Riding the Voyager a couple of years ago for the first time, I'm like, this is the one I'm going to do it on. And once I meet her, we're going to do this. So, he hadn't even met his wife yet.
Yeah,
and I'm sure prospects weren't looking too good if he thought that he was going to get married on a roller coaster. But he met her, and thank God he met somebody who loved roller coasters through online dating, nonetheless.
eHarmony.com.
eHarmony.
I wonder if that's one of the questions. Don't they have like a 30-question compatibility test? Do you want to get married on a roller coaster? Yes or no?
Of course. Oh, we've got the person for you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it's continuing with our series, our fun presidential fact of the day.
Mm-hmm.
John Adams, who was a Federalist and our second president, age upon taking office, 61. Hey, we were thinking about this the other day, weren't we? The George Washington, how old he was taking office?
Oh, yeah.
57.
Wow, young.
He was pretty young. Yeah, pretty young. Well, they didn't live very
that's
long.
That's a true story.
So he beat out. He ran against Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Pinckney, and Aaron Burr. Beat them, of course, all out. Here is his interesting fact. Oh, wow. Interesting fact. Better than that. He died on July 4th.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. Anyways, Adams' wife, Abigail, used the East Room of the White House for hanging wet laundry, a practice that made him that may have increased her husband's grouchiness, because apparently he was a very grouchy man, John Adams was. So,
there you go.
Fun fact of the day.
Damn it, Abigail. How dare you hang your wet laundry in this room?
Bitch. In the
Tell
White
me
House.
About it.
God. It wasn't even the White House back then, whatever it was called, the National House of Presidents, whatever the heck it was. Anyways, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, talk about a man who has had sex with many cars, and it's disgusting. It's the most awkward story I've probably ever read in my entire life. We're going to talk about that after the break.
I've never been so embarrassed.
It's a common problem.
I got turned down for a car loan.
A bad credit report can keep you from getting the things in your life you want and need.
A friend told me about LegacyLegal.com.
LegacyLegal.com can remove negative items on your credit reports, raise your credit scores, and get you back on track.
It was inexpensive and easy. LegacyLegal.com took care of everything, and I got my loan.
Get your free credit consultation at LegacyLegal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Jacob from The Current. I just want to let you all know of a new series we're doing called Teens in Politics. We're going to have a panel of four teenagers discussing teens in politics, who they support, and issues that are important to the youth of the country. All the candidates this year have acknowledged the fact that the teen vote is important to them this year. So join us on Saturday, April 26th for Teens in Politics and learn what teenagers believe and who they support in the upcoming election.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Introducing Rick Devin's Old School. Hits of the 60s and 70s. Baby, it's a wild world. Featuring Chet McCracken, formerly of the Doobie Brothers, and Chris Pinnick, formerly of Chicago. CDs and downloads are now available through Amazon.com, Apple iTunes, and more. For more information about Rick Devin's Old School Hits of the 60s and 70s, visit RickDevin.com.
This guy at the office, he's always bragging about how often he gets Häagen-Dazs. I mean, I get my fair share of Häagen-Dazs, okay? But this guy, he says he gets it whenever he feels like it. After work, on his lunch break, at the office? Come on! He's got to be exaggerating. Nobody has Häagen-Dazs that often. Do they?
Our finest vanilla ice cream, surrounded with a rich milk chocolate coating. Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars. Pure pleasure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Current. Episode 97, May 23rd, 2008. Hey, let's,
Jacob and I are you gonna plug something here?
We're gonna plug, our upcoming schedule, just so everyone knows what the hell's going on, because, we've got a crazy couple months coming up. You know, we're gonna have episode 98 next week, which is not abnormal. We usually have one every Saturday. So we'll have that next week.
Yep.
And then we come to June, where we become a little dried up and scarce.
Yes.
Which, don't worry.
Kind of like the oil supply.
Yes. Because Logan will be gone, well, quite a bit.
He'll be, almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll be gone in Ohio for a little bit, but don't worry, I'm going to do an election update from Ohio. But our current number 99 won't be until June 25th.
Whoa.
So it's a little while. But we've got some things to fill you in with, all right? Uh-huh. We're going to have election updates, which I'll be doing. Most Fridays and Saturdays we'll be doing it in the middle of the week. We have video updates spursed in there. I'll have an election update from Ohio, which I guess will be significant. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have our Teens in Politics episode premiering in that time frame, somewhere in there, not exactly sure, but before episode 99.
Right.
And the reason we're doing that is because we're going to have a live 3-hour extravaganza for our 100th episode in July.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think July 5th or July 6th or July 7th are the 3 dates we have to pick from. That's a Friday, that's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday duo, because we wanted to do it on the 4th, but Logan will be out of town. Mm-hmm. So we'll get back to you as to the specific day of that and who's going to be on. We're going to have several guests on. It's going to be 3 hours. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So stay tuned for that. So don't worry, although we'll have a 3.5 week layoff between episode 98 and 99, we'll have a lot of content in between.
We're reducing staff here with our layoffs.
Yeah, we got to make cuts because the gas is so high.
Yeah.
Anyways. Speaking of gas.
Yeah. Jacob and I, just going over the story, very disturbed. Very disturbed, I think, both of us. I've never been so uncomfortable in my entire life.
It's quite possibly the most disgusting thing you will ever hear in your entire life, and uh-huh. I'm so happy I can bring it to you. Edward Smith, who lives in his current with his current girlfriend,
uh-huh.
that is in quotation marks for good reason, a white Volkswagen Beetle named Vanilla.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is a car. Insisted that he was not, quote, sick and had no desire to change his ways. I appreciate beauty, and I go a little bit beyond appreciating the beauty of a car, only to the point of what I feel is an expression of love, he said. Maybe I'm a little bit off the wall, but when I see movies like Herbie and Knight Rider, where cars become lovable, huggable characters, it's just wonderful. I'm a romantic. I write poetry about cars. I sing to them and talk to them just like a girlfriend. I know what's in my heart, and I have no desire to change. He added, I'm not sick, and I don't want to hurt anyone. Cars are just my preference. This guy has sex with cars.
He claims that he has had sex with
1,000
yes. cars.
Now, he started this disgusting act at the age of 15 and claims he has never been attracted to women or men, but his wandering eyes spread beyond cars to other vehicles. He says that his most intense sexual experience uh-huh. was making love to a helicopter from the 1980s TV hit Airwolf. That must have been so kinky for Mr. James. I don't know how Mr. Smith, I don't know how you make love to a car. I don't want to know how you have sex with a car, to be honest with you.
Probably has something to do with the tailpipe.
That's what I was thinking. That's the only logical way, I guess. Yeah, anyways, aside from Vanilla, he regularly spends time with his other vehicles, a 1973 Opel GT named Cinnamon, and a 1993 Ford Ranger Splash named Ginger. Before Vanilla, he had a 5-year relationship with Victoria, a 1969 VW Beetle he bought from a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to know here, because this has got to be so disappointing for him, because he has to break off every relationship. He's got to break up everything.
Yeah,
I mean, the car
and keep in mind, we just read you like you know, 4 or 5. He's had done it with thousands.
Oh,
these
are
just the ones he's had relationships with, you know, his one night stands or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Had
well, with, I mean, he confesses that he, you know, most of the cars have belonged to strangers or car showrooms.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like when you like walk out in your driveway in the middle of the night and there's just this guy
having sex with your car?
I want to see, because they talk about in here how he, what he does. It's really weird. Oh, okay, let's see. I just loved cute cars right from the beginning, but over the years, it got stronger once I got into my teenage years and was my first having sexual urges. When I turned 13 and the famous Corvette Stingray came about, the car was pure sex and just an incredible machine. I wanted it. I didn't fully understand it myself, except that I know I'm not hurting anyone and I do not intend to.
This next line right here, he goes, he added, there are moments way out in the middle of nowhere when I see a little car parked there and I swear it needs loving.
There have been certain cars that attracted me, and I would wait until nighttime, creep up to them, and just hug and kiss them. As far as women go, they never really interested me much, and I'm not gay. I just like cars.
Right here, Mr. Smith is now part of a global community of more than 500 car lovers brought together by the internet.
Thank God for
how,
the internet.
Yes, how they can connect.
He would not
people.
Be able to express himself if it wasn't for the internet. Hey,
what if that's on eHarmony? Do you love cars?
I think love, you'd have to describe love in this situation.
True point. Yeah.
My prediction, within the next 50 years, amendment mm-hmm. will be passed in California where you are allowed to marry a car.
Yeah.
Because this guy, I mean, he's just like everybody else.
Yeah.
He should be able to marry his love.
Absolutely.
His car, Vanilla, should be able to get legally
But then
married.
How does the car say, I do? You can program a horn.
You would, yeah, we'd honk it.
Yeah.
That's the only.
I do.
It's kind of like a dog, right? Yeah. I mean, the dog just mm-hmm. barks. You can't understand it. The horn of the car, yeah, you know, beeps. You sure, he has to beep it, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This guy, is just very lonely, and mm-hmm. that's that.
I think that's the problem.
That's definitely the problem. Anyways, that does it for the show. I hope you all enjoyed it. Episode 97, May 23rd, 2008, Saturday. That is, I'm Jacob Bonner.
And I am Logan Sparrow.
Stay tuned for episode 98 next week, and then we'll have a huge layoff. But don't worry.
We'll be back.
Live 100th episode sometime in July. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
Goodbye.